Pod. Pod.
Welcome, friends, to Use Wigs Radio. We are celebrating podcast number 12. Much like the... it's been a while. Let me get a little...
Lubricate.
Welcome, friends, to Use Wigs Radio. We are celebrating podcast number 12. Much like that dumbass show on CBS, in tonight's episode, Team Use Wigs will be using numbers to solve all the murders in Philadelphia, cure some major diseases, and predict the exact date when the bird flu will hit our area. You guys ever watch that show, Numbers?
Are you going to be happy with the way you said predict?
No. Do-over.
Do-over?
One more do-over.
Okay. That's all tonight on Use Wigs Radio Podcast 12. Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, Jeff.
Hi,
guys,
Jeff.
We are in a new studio tonight, aren't we? This is Russ Stark Studios Mach 2. Let's raise a glass to Russ's new studio.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Congratulations, Russ.
Thank you, Jeff.
Russ, tonight we are toasting with a red. It's called Big House Red, Casa del Solo. And much like Todd...
I mean single house, I think.
Single house?
That's really good.
It is good. And it's a wine that has what? What's different about this wine than most wines we drink?
Screw off top?
Screw off top, yes.
But that's becoming the next big thing now, isn't it?
It is, because it's a young wine, and it's meant to be drunk... or drinking, all in one sitting.
So, but they're saying that anyway, right? That now, you know, the screw top is not so much of a...
Well, you're not going to cork this. Once you only use a cork if you're going to drink some, put it back in, and you want it to maintain...
The fact that it's not in a box is a step up from what I'm using.
No, but it used to be that you wouldn't buy a wine with a screw cap because that meant it was cheaper.
Yeah,
so
Thunderbird, yeah, bum wine.
That's not true anymore because cork is really expensive or becoming rare.
No,
or
no, they don't use cork anymore anyway. They use this like synthetic plastic rubbery thing. That,
but do you remember...
Not always.
No. Well, the finer wines
have corks, yeah.
Do you remember, like, growing up when your family would have a big family party and you get, like, the big things at Gallo there, all screw top? Like,
yes.
They had, like, the
a
little...
Jug. A jug of wine, yeah.
A jug. It'd be, like, 12 gallons for, like, $6, and it was just called, like, white wine, like Blanco or something. Anyway, enough about the wine. It's delicious. We all know that. What I want to get into tonight, guys, is, of course, you know, talking about our new studio, the new setup. But I had some spies on the street tell me that two members of Use Wigs Radio were spotted line dancing this past weekend.
Secrets out.
Secrets out. Will you confirm or deny this rumor?
Actually, I don't know that Russ line danced at all. Did you?
I did one.
Did you? Yeah.
I did one.
Yeah, Friday evening, we found ourselves in a fire hall line dancing, country line dancing, that is. And what did you think, Russ? That was the third or fourth time that I've been country line dancing, which might be three too many, but...
That was the first time I've ever done it. It was pretty funny.
It's a line dancing club, and they rent out this fire hall. They have the same group of people that come, you know.
Same bunch of hillbillies from all over.
I don't want to use the word hillbillies, but...
Well, if they are, why wouldn't you use the word?
They'll allow anyone to go. Okay. I mean, I think country line dancing is all accepting, you know.
It is.
It doesn't turn its back.
It actually...
There's no doorman.
Right. You could be a dumb rube or a complete hillbilly, and you could...
or somewhere in between.
Yeah. The one thing I have to say about line dancing, and I think about Friday night in particular, is that there is no dance that is whiter than that. That was a white room.
Yeah.
It's funny because you
hesitate to use the word even dancing. It's more like choreographed bug smashing or something. Like the people are just kind of twirling around and like kicking their feet on the ground. And
was there a band or was there a DJ?
There was a DJ. Spinning the tunes.
And it's pretty tough to describe what he was like. He looked like he had just, you know, his day job is probably being a caretaker for a junkyard. And then he came in, he was this dumpy old guy with real big baggy jeans. And every couple of songs, he would call out things. And then every couple of songs, he would get out and kind of do a dance with people.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
Yeah. But you know what? Some of the nicest people you ever want to meet. Like, when you're out there trying...
Simple folk normally are nice.
You just hear... Yeah.
I guess
you just hear directions, like, being whispered to you from all directions.
Right.
You know, like, they just all... They want you to succeed.
Touch my thighs.
That's what Rush was yelling
on. It's just a finger. I swear. Don't turn around. Well, that's cute that you guys did it. You know what would have been cooler if you brought dates instead of it was just you two dancing?
A podcasting team that country line dances together stays together. We always say.
Excellent. Well, let's while we play a song, you guys can show me a couple of your steps. But right now, let's listen to a little Magneta Lane out of Toronto, Canada.
Yes.
Wigs Radio podcast number 12. It's been a dozen podcasts so far, guys. How's it feeling? All right, excellent. That was Magneta Lane. They're out of Toronto, Canada, as I said before. And that was a song called Breaking Plates off the album Dances. It's Dancing with Daggers. And that's on Paperbag Records, an indie record label. Guys, in the intro, I referenced a show called Numbers, and you two looked at me quizzically. Do you know the show I was mentioning? Never saw it?
No, I've seen the commercial.
Shows irritate me from time to time. Yeah, commercial's good enough. You probably got more valuable information from the commercial.
So give us a synopsis, if you're...
All right. The little guy who's in it is David Krumholtz. He's been in about 100 failed sitcoms, but for this one, he grew his hair really long, so he looks a bit eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
The whole show is based around there's all these, you know, crimes going on, and he's the go-to guy who can solve everything just by doing these giant equations on a blackboard.
Oh, he's like a savant or something?
Yes, okay. And it kind of, I think, when that stupid movie that Russell Crowe hit about the...
Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind. You know, when that hit, people are like, oh, that's an untapped resource, let's turn it into a TV show.
Right. So, now, are these crimes that while you, the viewer, are watching along, you might be able to figure out numerically also, or...?
Yeah, if you had a slide rule and a calculator, maybe, and an abacus. It's so dumb. It's beyond dumb. And, he, you know, he uses this kind of bogus math, and they show him... Every scene has to show him by himself late at night in front of the chalkboard. Then all of a sudden, you know, E equals, you know, 4 squared.
It's an epiphany.
Right, and then he's like, oh my God, that's how the guy shot that guy.
What?
And here's the deal. I hate shows, and Todd, we've discussed this before, where this actor, David Krumholtz, is a safe distance away from a genius. But on the show, he plays this super genius.
Yeah.
So like in House, when the guy plays this genius doctor... I just couldn't do that if I was an actor, knowing that I'm just a dumb actor. Yeah, you can act the part, but then you have to go through your normal life where there's enough dumb people in this country think that you are this genius.
Well, you think, like, action heroes probably run into the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, people would expect...
assume that they can fight.
Well, we discussed before, like, Harrison Ford still thinks he's an action hero. He has a helicopter and he likes to go save people. I'm sure if there was a cape around, he'd put that on before he got in a helicopter. So that's, I know it probably doesn't bother you, but that's one thing that bothers me about actors. You know, I love when
that they act.
Yeah, they act. I guess that's
he cannot stand actors acting.
He only likes actors that act like how they are.
No, I think you should
act. Then we see a bunch of people in their boxers on craft dinner.
It's not that hard to act. So if you need a genius doctor, go to Johns Hopkins University, get the smartest doctor there, and go, listen, buddy, what are you making a year, you know, putting new hearts in people? $240,000 a year, and you got a lot of insurance. Why don't you just come and be an actor? And he'd be like, oh, really? Yeah, you can use everything you know, and we'll just put you on camera. He'd be like, all right, yeah, that's cool. And then he would, you know...
Yeah, that's crappy reality TV that we hate.
Oh, you're right. No, but you wouldn't have to say it's reality TV. It'd be a scripted show, but you just have a real doctor doing it. So, damn it, right now I'm calling for any position, any show character that shows some intelligence has to have an actor or a person who has a degree in that.
A little far-fetched, though.
Yeah, it is. But, you know.
What do you do about sci-fi?
Well...
You have to actually find aliens
no.
and cyborgs and stuff. Or are you okay with people acting like they're cyborgs?
Let's not turn this into a ridiculous conversation. We're having a very, very thought-out conversation. And
I'm just contemplating the ifs.
Time for music.
All right, Todd, we're going to listen to something that you want to listen to.
Stephen Malcolmus, Baby Come On.
Wigs Radio, Podcast 12. Twice the microphones, twice the pleasure.
That was Stephen Malcolmus, Baby Come On, from the album Face the Truth. I believe that is Stephen's third solo attempt after breaking up from what band?
The Pavement.
The Pavement. And actually, that's just Stephen Malcolmus. He used to be Stephen Malcolmus and the Jicks.
Did we not say Pavement?
Yeah. I said the pavement.
Oh, okay. Pavements, yeah.
Because it's funny when you put a the in front of band. Like if you're on a TV show and an old woman came in and goes like, who are those Nirvanas you're playing? Right. You know, like it's that's how hack writers make something.
Actually,
funny.
David Letterman is
he does
he
that.
Always mispronounces things.
And he says the rock and roll.
Like
yeah, this band's.
I like whenever Todd brings us back in because it feels like as soon as he's done talking, you should be like, use Wigs Radio,
yeah.
10:20 a.m.
See, especially your radio voice when we come back from
yeah,
the song. I don't
even
notice.
You have a very very professional delivery at times, Todd. Perfect for the B101 or something like that.
The request lines are open.
Actually, most radio stations now are just going like, you know, no DJs. They just play a bunch of music, right? Like, and they're like, we'll play, you know.
Yeah, an eclectic mix. Because you know, they're attempting to, I think, mirror iTunes and, and iPods.
They did that many stations that really did.
Well, not in this area, but there's one in this area now, I think. Like Ben. Right. But yeah, they want to be like, you just press shuffle and all your favorite songs from every genre. So it's every overplayed song from every horrible genre.
That's the thing is, yeah, it jumps genres, but it's still the same freaking
They'll
song.
They'll go from like all the way from Sting to Bryan Adams. And somewhere in
we don't even care, dude.
They don't care. They're,
but you know, one thing that every... I was thinking about this the other day. One thing that almost every radio station does, even the public radio stations, is... The in-between songs or when they're talking and stuff, they all have like those squeaky, squelchy noises as if the radio is being tuned or squeaking on and off. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like they all like make these static noises and these like all this weird crap, which is kind of funny because when radio first started, you know, all that stuff was unintentional. Mm-hmm. And now when they have the opportunity to avoid all of that, they purposely
tuning,
put it in. Like tuning noises and like static noises and explosions and crackles.
Well, get that stuff on our show.
And actually,
maybe
we don't even...
Like we're doing something.
Most of us don't even have knobs anymore to tune a radio, so we don't actually even encounter that, right? It's like all digital.
I'll find some of that and put it on the show this time.
That'd be nice. Just, yeah, random static and you get on that. Well, enough radio talk. Hey, guys, do you want to laugh?
Always.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about every so often we just play something from one of our favorite comedians?
Cool.
You know, to make us really laugh, get the guffaws out. Here's a little Todd Barry.
I used to be a musician. I used to play the drums. Drums, yeah. What's your name, lady? Ann. Do you have any tattoos? No. Never mind. Some bands have two drummers. Allman Brothers, two drummers. If you're a drummer and you join a band that already has a drummer, you are an asshole. Some woman comes up to you after the show. I love that part where you went blah, bada, blue, bada, blue, bada, boom. Oh, that wasn't me. I was going... Do you know where the blubba-da-blubba-da guy is? Because there's a blowjob with his name on it. An actual personalized blowjob, people.
One night to be confused, one night to speed up truth. We had a promise made, four hands and then away. Both under influence, we had divine said to know what to say. Mind is a race away, to call for hands of above. Start a simple touch, one night to push and scream, and then breathe. 10 days of perfect tunes, the colors red and blue. We had a promise made, we were in love. cherry different orbits than one life. To call for hands of love to lean on would be good enough for me now. To call for hands of love.
Okay, that was Heartbeats by Jose Gonzalez, and that's off of his fantastic album, Veneer. Good stuff, right?
I liked it. It was mellow.
Yeah, I think it's very moving. I mean, the album is very powerful.
I like moving stuff. Mm-hmm. But speaking of moving, Russ, how was moving into your new house?
Oh, it was rad.
Was it? Yeah. Sorry I couldn't be here for the move. I had to drive down to Annapolis, and we also stopped at a lacrosse game, and I saw one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. And I've never felt less like a man while watching this. It was my wife went to Johns Hopkins University. They're very big in lacrosse. So it was their homecoming game. And we're getting ready to the game to begin. And they say, it's a special treat. The game ball will be brought in by the Army Corps of Jumping Parachuting Maniacs. You know, like their special corps of, like, He-Man.
And they dropped from the sky and brought
this
the ball?
This plane came flying over as soon as I said it. This guy comes dropping out, I don't know, like 3,000 feet above, however high. And you see this little dude come flying down. And you're watching. You're like, holy shit, this guy's really going to land in the stadium.
Uh-huh.
He's getting closer and closer. And then he just starts taking these, like, really wide turns. And you're like, this guy's probably not even going to make it in the stadium due to the winds. And he's getting closer. And he literally went way off course. There's no way he's going to get in the stadium. This guy was just totally faking everybody out. He came flying in and landed in the exact middle of the, like, the stadium, like a little circle where they do the face-off, like spot on, right in the middle.
And hands in the ball or drops it down?
Just, bam!
There's got to be a more efficient way to bring a ball into the stadium.
No, there wasn't. They were thinking of carrying it in, and they're like, no, it takes too much time. They're thinking of wheeling it in a cart, and then someone said, we got to do it by the air. It's the safest way. And it was, because no one disrupted him. So he comes flying down, he runs up into the booth, grabs the mic, and he's like, I'm Special Air Force Ranger Mike Patrick, and I'm part of the elite national jumping parachuting guys, and you know what, there's a more special treat for you, eight of my buddies are coming next, woo! And you're like, what is this? All of a sudden, another plane comes flying over, eight guys come jumping out, the stadium was going nuts, it was one of the coolest things in the world. And like, when they're only 30 feet above you, and you're like, damn, this is a guy in a stupid parachute, And he's going to do this amazing thing. And then they land, and everyone's landing one after the next, exactly where they're supposed to land, high-fiving. And then, like, all the guys come in, you know. But it was basically a recruitment for, like, the Army, too.
Oh, was it?
You know, like, kind of like...
Did they need people?
What's that?
Did they need people?
I signed up. I was like, I had, like, eight beers.
Yeah.
It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I had, like, eight beers, and I signed up.
Yeah.
So I'll be 2 weeks, guys. I'm out of here. Fort Lejeune, or one of the Camp Lejeunes.
So the actual game was kind of a tough act to follow.
Like, yeah, oh, really.
Like, a cross game.
They
just stand on the ground. These guys,
pussies. But when they walked by, when they were done, the game was starting, and you see like these eight guys in full like Army jumping gear, carrying parachutes, sweating, and like high fiving people. I'm looking at myself. I'm like, I hurt myself leaning back in my car to grab something out of the back seat, and like that was like the hardest thing I did.
So I don't know how work is for you, but when I come out of the office every day, I'm sweating. People are waiting there to high five me.
That's just one of those things where you're like, my life could have went a completely different way. If when I was young, I wanted to jump out of things, and I wasn't so scared of.
My life could have went a lot of ways, but I don't think any of them would have led to me jumping out of planes
and handing balls to crossfires.
Jeff's hairstyle would suggest that he jumps out of a plane sometimes.
It is fantastic. Speaking of that same weekend, a 7-year-old who we were visiting, my wife's friend's son, at 2 points looked at me and said, "You look like a clown," and then proceeded to tell me that I have silly hair.
It's hard to argue with either.
No, it wasn't. It was a very trenchant observation.
Kids are very honest.
Kids are very honest.
Brutally honest.
Silly hair.
Yeah, and they told me I look like a clown. And everybody in Annapolis, I guess, either plays lacrosse and sails, and I didn't know how to do either, so the 10-year-old was showing me how to play lacrosse, and then the 7-year-old was telling me about sailing, and then I took him for a drive later, and I said there was something else I didn't know how to do, and he looked at me and goes, "What do you know how to do?" It's a 7-year-old.
That's tough.
You can't really fire back, but I got dressed down pretty bad that weekend. Anyway, guys, enough of the manly talk and the lacrosse talk. I want to hear some music, so I'm going to play some. How about a little Drive-By Truckers? Was the Drive-By Truckers with one of the best songs I've heard in a very, very long time. That was called Easy on Yourself. That's off their new album called A Blessing and... It's coming up here on the computer. A Blessing and a Curse on New West Records.
Who would have thought it?
I really like those guys. Russ, I know you've listened to them.
Yeah, I like them. They're, what is that one? Southern Rock Opera? Is that the name of the double album? That's a great one.
Yeah.
I bought two of their CDs and gave them away because I don't like them at all and I think they kind of stink.
Really?
Yeah.
You think they kind of stink?
I didn't like them enough to keep them in the CD collection.
Well, you know what? They're very... They're eclectic in their genre because they'll play like the kind of beer belly music, you know, like honky-tonk stuff. And then they'll throw in a real cool jam like that. They kind of mix it up. Like, they're very proud, I think, of being like that southern, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd-esque good old boy band. But then they kind of expand their sound. Mm. So, Todd, you were wrong when you threw them out. And you were also wrong not liking them. Yes.
I might be in the minority here, but...
All right. Well, you know what? Before this turns into a nasty case of fisticuffs, I don't want any Donnybrooks breaking out. we're going to go to a new little segment I call Names in the News. Guys, I'm just going to throw out names, and you're just going to tell me what you feel about these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. You can
so, like, word association? Like, the first thing that pops into our head?
Right, okay. I will say David Blaine.
Snow globe.
Snow globe? Russ.
I just think he's an idiot.
He is an idiot. Snow globe, that's pretty good.
First of all, you know how... Oh,
that's because he's in that thing now, right?
Are we supposed to elaborate on, in this
George,
game?
George, yeah.
Because you notice how he always does this. Whenever he's doing his stunts, he complains about how rough it's getting and how he's in bad shape. And that's like the press release that went out today was people asked him how he's doing in that aquarium. And he's like, oh, I'm in pretty rough shape. And my skin is peeling off and I have pain in every joint. But I'm still going to try my... holding my breath for 9 minutes at my special.
You know what stinks?
It's so calculated.
I mean, like, what if he says, oh, no problem, you know, everything's going swimmingly.
But still watching.
Yeah, well,
you know what's great?
He wants to build tension,
Americans,
though.
We're such dopes. We just sat there and watched him and did nothing about it. Like, wow, you're great. In Britain, like last year when he was
they destroyed.
They just threw food at him every day. They had people who just go there every day just to antagonize him.
That was when he was in the ice?
He was in, no.
He was underground?
No, I think he was up above in a plastic something, and then he was like standing on something.
He's like the modern day flagpole sitter.
Yeah, he just doesn't really...
Well,
you know about that?
Flagpole
sitter?
Yeah.
Well, wait, save it for 1 second. Because, you know, he's supposed to hold his breath for 9 minutes underwater or whatever, and they're going to make a 2-hour special out of that.
Right.
Out of that 9 minutes. It's like, remember when Evel Knievel used to do a jump? And,
yes.
And it would be like, you know, an hour-long special.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if they did it with Evel Knievel, but the Robbie Knievel jumps were always like an hour, hour and a half. And the one, remember they did the whole special and he didn't even jump.
Didn't jump.
He was supposed to jump across the Grand Canyon.
So what are they going to do with the other 111 minutes?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Do you play a highlight film of all the broken bones?
Oh, I mean, every Evel Knievel special, or every Robbie Knievel special, they always show the jump when Evel got destroyed. I remember watching that live with my dad.
Yeah.
Sorry, so what was flagpole sitting?
Well, it's kind of the equivalent of this. Back in the 30s?
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely.
It was a major form of entertainment. People would just go up on a flagpole and sit on it.
They would shimmy up the flagpole, which is a feat in itself.
Yeah.
And then sit on top.
Sit, and it would show...
For days.
Show their ability to balance and self-control and, like, not fall off. Yeah, it's pretty hard to...
Yeah.
They could sleep. They would be... They kind of learned how to sleep for, like, only a couple minutes until they started to lose their balance and wake back up and actually...
Well, would they bring, like, a little board or something to put on the top of the flagpole?
I don't know. All right. Names in the News, part two. Keith Richards. Anything?
Leather.
Blood.
Yeah, he almost died. Did you know
recently?
That?
Yeah.
You know why I say blood is because isn't it the rumor that he had all the blood in his body has been replaced like 2 or 3 times based on all the rehab and all kinds of stuff he's been through?
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors. And it's like why Ozzy Osbourne always pours water on himself continuously while he's on stage now. Do you know why he does that? Because he's such a doddering old mess. He pees himself. He has, like, very, very bad bladder.
I love it. Get out of here.
And is that true?
It's true. To hide
that
the fact
great.
That he wets himself.
Wow.
That he just douses himself with water.
So
where
did you hear when that? He begins
I don't need to reveal sources. I don't need proof. I just need to say things that are true, and I don't need to be questioned.
Well, it sounds very plausible. I'm just wondering.
When he begins throwing mud all over himself on stage, we'll know what's going on.
Oh, jeez.
Thank you, folks.
Very nice. Took it there. Keith Richards was just in the hospital because he supposedly fell out of a tree while trying to grab coconuts. I'm not making it up. That's exactly what he was in for.
There's another rumor that he fell off a jet ski.
Right.
They haven't confirmed how he...
But the bottom line is he's not going to die. Because he's like a vampire.
Oh, I hope
know?
He
he's
pulls
like,
through.
Of course he'll pull
He's pickled.
Through.
I need another 7 stone albums, at least.
I can't
you
wait.
Know, they showed a picture of him you know, on the bus in wherever they are right now. Where are they? They in South America?
No idea.
Well, like they're on tour in some place overseas that's not a normal place to tour. And they had this picture of him, you know, waving to the camera or something like that. His hands, I don't even know how he can play the guitar. They look like these crazy zombie hands. They're they're all like crooked and weird, and his fingernails are like white, but not because he painted them. You know, like he's got like these crusty old hands and like white fingernails, and I'm just like, oh, how does he even play the guitar with those things? He's like big hammer fingers.
Yes, he barely plays a guitar.
Well, that's true, yeah.
He plays all 2 chords, he knows. Anyway, enough about Keith Richards. He's alive, he'll stay alive, he'll outlive us all, and it just goes to show you that do everything you want in life, every drug and drink and...
Seize the day.
Yeah, just have fun, man. And, let me give you one more name because, you know, we're all about sports. We're sports talk now. LeBron James. Todd, you know who he is?
Yes, I know.
Okay, I'm glad you know who he is. Russ, anything? LeBron?
No, I guess. I don't even know who that is.
He's a Cleveland Cavalier.
Very good.
Superstar.
Very good. Todd, you're on a roll.
What's his third year in the league?
Yeah.
Right?
You're so that's, three. That's basketball?
Yeah.
He's basketball. He's 21, and he could be the next coming of Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but who cares? Kelly Pickler.
Yeah, not me.
Was anybody?
Kelly what?
Kelly Pickler.
Was that Joni's best friend on Happy Days?
That was, no, that was Jenny Piccolo. Played by Linda Goodfriend. Russ, Kelly Pickler, do you know who that is?
You win.
I have no idea who that is.
Kelly Pickler was the dumbest person ever to appear on TV. She was voted off 2 weeks ago in American Idol. Blonde girl, really, really stupid. She said something so innocently...
So she's dumber than the one that couldn't read?
Oh, yeah. The Fantasia? Okay. Yeah, she's dumber than Fantasia.
Okay. Whoa. Didn't Fantasia win?
Yeah, she won.
And she can't read?
She can't read.
She's illiterate.
Get out of here.
Wow. Welcome to 2 years ago.
Well, that's an American Idol for you.
Kelly Pickler was on one episode, and Rod Stewart was the person helping her. And Rod said something to the effect of, like, well, you know, you're really, really talented. And she mixed two cliches. She wanted to say, well, that was a load off my mind, and I want to get that off my chest. So she said, thanks for getting that load off my chest. And, you know, probably one of the most, you know, great imagery you can imagine. Rod Stewart, who loves young women, this young blonde there, load off her chest. And you had to see Rod Stewart's face. He was just like, oh, I just want to, and he laughed. And she was like, what? But she's just notoriously dumb. And she didn't know, like, the one guy called her a minx. She didn't know what a minx was, you know. So I just thought I'd throw that name out there, see if you guys knew who she was. And I knew you wouldn't. Guys, that will probably never happen again, names in the news. But you know what will continue? Damn good music on Newswigs Radio.
It's up in my heart when it skips a beat. Can't feel no pavement out under my feet.
It's fucking great, huh? New York, yeah. Exact city I just named. There's a lot of psychic energy in this crowd tonight. If you go out to eat here in New York City or any big city, you get a little leftover food. This is what you do with it. Give it to a homeless person. Then you feel like a hero for the whole night. The guy comes up to you, he's like, hey, can you spare some change for some food? You're like, change for some food. Tonight is your lucky night, pal. Honey, hand me the bag. Sir, look what I got for you. 2 icy cold leftover onion rings. They're delicious, man. I just ate 1,000 of them. So then you give the guy the food, you walk away, but you have to turn around because you want to watch him eating it. Only to find out he's dumped it on the ground. He's wearing the container as a hat.
That was Todd Barry, one of my favorite comedians out there. And that's off the album, Falling Off the Bone. You can get that on Amazon. And go to ToddBarry.com, www.ToddBarry.com. And I believe someone in this room has spent a little time with Todd Barry.
Yes, I saw him perform maybe 3 times. And one evening, we saw him at the door on the way out of the performance. And we said, we're going to get something to eat. You want to join us?
What city? Let's paint this picture.
Princeton, New Jersey.
Nice.
And I happened to be running with a pack of attractive women, and he took us up on that offer.
Yeah.
And he was not as funny at dinner as he was on stage. And he spent the majority of the evening, I think, trying to figure out if there were any stray single females in our group, because I remember him asking a lot, like over and over again, okay, like, who's with who? you guys are together. And then I think by the time he realized that there are no single females in our group, he started hitting on the waitress. And the one funny thing he did say as we were leaving, our waitress was doing roll-ups, which is like rolling silverware in a napkin as side work, like making a big pile of them. And he goes something like, hey, Kara, why don't you come with us? I have a roll-up machine in the car. that was the extent of my evening with Todd Barry.
Wait, so who paid?
I think we all bucked up. I don't remember.
Including him?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Should we have bought him a meal for entertaining us?
You probably should.
In addition
probably,
to the,
if you're going to ask him to come out to dinner with us, you probably would.
Then I must have.
Here's a question. Now, do you think he was probably not funny just talking to you? Because he's probably like, listen, I just did an hour or so spent. I don't want to waste any funnies on this guy. But if the girls chime in, I'll be funny to them. No?
I just don't think he was that charming or as charming as we imagined
him
to be.
Well, I think it's part of his allure.
Maybe.
You know, he's
you know, I guess the same way that if you go to see a musical performance and you go out to eat with the guy afterwards, he's not like...
Which I do all the time. Dude, I was having dinner with Bono the other day, and he turns it all on for the cameras, but in person...
Yeah, he's full of shit.
Guys, did you hear about awareness bracelets?
No, what?
They cause cancer. Yeah. I know, it's horrible, but... Everybody has...
That sounds stupid. Redo that. That's so stupid.
Why?
You think that was good?
Yeah.
It's so cheesy.
No, I think that's funny.
Oh, I didn't even want to be a part of that delivery.
Russ, let's talk about something else. I want to talk about what you're into right now.
All right, let's do shout-outs.
Shout-outs!
One shout-out of mine would be songtapper.com.
Songtapper.com,
which is a pretty wild website. Basically, what you do is you go in and you click to start, and then it records your keystrokes. And on your spacebar, you tap the beat of any song.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so if you're like humming it in your head as you're tapping it, you just tap along with it. And then when you're done, you click again, and it'll tell you what song it is. And it's some kind of an algorithm that's fun to play with. Of course, there's holes in it, but it's fun.
I would like to recommend a magazine, as I sometimes do, and the magazine is called Ready Made.
It's a great one.
Yeah,
ReadyMadeMag.com.
It's a magazine that just has really spectacular, like, home projects for the home,
mm-hmm.
but not typical, stodgy, like, old, crappy stuff. But
how to make a cool lamp for under $20 out of, like, stuff you have around the house.
For Generation Us.
How to make a bidet out of old toilet paper tubes.
No, but very hip, very trendy, very cool.
And you got to see the very graphic pictures of them using the bidet. That's what I love about it. I don't know how they got that camera in there.
Dude, this is a serious magazine, and you're ruining it.
Todd, back to your magazine.
No, what do you got?
No, that's a good one. I love Ready Made. I've only tried to really do two of the things that they... said I could do, and
I don't know if I've tried any, but I just like to look at it.
It's a very nicely designed magazine also. I just like to give a few shout outs to some music very quickly. A new replacement CD, a best of, on Rhino Records is coming out, and I was looking at the track list. Phenomenal. So you just go to rhino.com and look for the new replacements. Don't you know who I think I was, the best of the replacements?
Does it cover their whole recording career?
It's a pretty pretty thorough retrospective. There's some good songs in there.
They just had a two CD retrospective.
Well, guess what, Russ? There's another one out
all
now.
Right, fine.
Thank God, don't you poop can never on have my parade. Next, I want to give a big shout out to Evan Dando, the Mercurial lead singer of the Lemonheads. A little crazy, this guy, but he put out some of the best music in the past 20 years. And don't think Mrs. Robinson and all that crap. Early Lemonheads records were great. It's a Shame About Ray is a classic. He's coming back and as the Lemonheads again, not as a solo artist, and he's bringing Carl Alvarez and Bill Stevenson, one of the best rhythm sections ever from the Descendants, to back him up on this album and tour. So are we done with all our tie-ins there?
Yeah.
All our shout-outs?
I think that's it for Podcast 12, Jeff.
Podcast 12 was pretty good. I think we learned a lot about each other, life, love, and a lot of good things.
We laughed, we cried.
Russ Stark Studios, Mach 2, Podcast 12.
I'm still